Now, we've been really lucky. We've managed to see it, and it is released in certain cinemas at the moment. The film is called Moonlight. It is absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, it's really hard-hitting. It's not an easy watch.
No.
It tells the story of a young man growing up in Miami with his mum, who's struggling with drug addiction. He's struggling with being bullied at school, being tormented, and he's also struggling to come to terms with his sexuality and be the man that he wants to be in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it follows him kind of throughout his life. It's on general release, so you can see it from Friday. We were lucky enough yesterday after the show to catch up with the director.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's up for 8 Oscars. We caught up with Barry Jenkins yesterday and we asked him why he wanted to make the film Moonlight.
You know, when I read Terrell's piece in Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue, theoretically, it moved me the way you guys say the film that you saw moved you. And I wanted to allow audience to feel what I felt in reading the piece.
Yeah, so you read the book initially. And how did the film get made? It must have been quite a journey to take it from your, like, oh, I want to make this film, into an actual reality.
You know, it was and it wasn't. And I hate giving this answer because I think it's...
It's all right, Barry, go on. Yeah.
I read the piece. A mutual friend of mine sent it to me. I fell in love with it. I decamped to Brussels, Belgium, of all places.
Did you?
Why not?
Nice there. We've been, haven't we?
Yeah, lovely
Brussels, yeah.
You know, I wanted to get very far away from my own life to be immersed in these characters' lives. And 10 days later, I had the first draft. And I literally, this is why I say I'm a very privileged person as far as this film goes. I flew from Brussels to Telluride, Colorado. This was 2013. There was this little movie made by your countryman, Steve McQueen, called 12 Years a Slave, world premiering at that festival.
Yeah. Just a small movie.
Just a small movie. Yeah. And Plan B was the producer on that film. And they go, hey, I introduced that Q&A. I did the first screening of that film as a moderator. And said, hey, what are you working on? I was like, well, I just came back from Brussels adapting this piece by Terrell McCraney. 3 years later, Plan B and myself world premiered this film, Moonlight, at that same festival.
Wow.
So it was a very fast, privileged, lucky, fortunate experience.
Yeah.
Well, you say fast. We heard that you filmed Naomi Harris's part, who played brilliantly the mother.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Of the main character, in 2 or 3 days. Is that right? You filmed her part?
I mean, 2 days sounds real badass. It was 3 days. It was 3 days.
3 days.
Three days. Yeah.
Wow. So she had other commitments and just came in and did it all. That's amazing. That must have been a brilliant process for you.
You know, it was very visceral, is how I describe it. It was like directing in a burning house.
Really, yeah.
But an amazingly, like, awesome burning house. You know, she was actually promoting, again, your countryman, James Bond. I think Spectre was releasing as we were about to shoot. And so she came in from the press junket from James Bond and did all her work in 3 days.
Wow.
What was it like to work with the young people? Because the young kids in the film, I thought that the young main character was a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he was amazing, Alex Hibbert. And you know, and I think that I'm a big fan of Lynn Ramsey's work, especially Ratcatcher, Morven Caller. And, you know, she's notorious for blending actors and non-actors. And I think Mahershala Ali is an actor who's won a lot of awards for this film.
Yeah.
And when I watch him, what I see is, in every scene except the one scene he shares with Naomi Harris, he is acting with non-actors. And so that kid, Alex Hibbert, just brought the best out of everyone because he was so pure.
Yeah, because people will see the film, but if you haven't, so what happens is, you know, we see the three stages of the main character's life and how he's changed. Now, what was it like working with the three actors? Because we came out of the film and we both went, wow, it was like you were watching the same person.
Some person grow up.
Yeah, yeah. How much of a challenge was that, Barry?
It was a challenge because I didn't allow these guys to meet. There was no rehearsal on the film.
Right.
And I didn't allow them to watch each other's footage. So I had to be almost directing with two eyes, I know, which is a strange thing to say. Maybe two minds is a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was trying to watch them and really, you know, have them be fully present. And yet at the same time, I had the memory of the actor who had come before. And I was relying on myself and the cinematographer to be the control across the three performances. Because I didn't want them to try to mimic one another. And so I spoke to them all with the same voice. I tried to guide them in the same way.
Mm.
And I do think what ends up happening in the film is you do see that the character has changed, and yet you feel the same essence, the same soul across the three performances. It's one of the things I'm proudest of in the film.
Yeah. How personal is this movie for you, Barry?
It's extremely personal in a few different ways. I think the character played by Naomi Harris, this character Paula, is extremely important to me. You know, it's basically an amalgamation of my mom and the playwright's mom. Mm. And every scene that you see Naomi perform in this film is something that either happened to him or myself.
Right.
So that was very visceral for me. But then also, too, you know, I've always considered myself an ally to LGBTQ causes. And yet I'd never had an LGBTQ character featured in my work.
Right.
And so I think that taking on this piece in a personal way, it was about standing up and really owning that allyship.
Yeah.
And so I think just the movie is shot through with a very personal feeling. And it's why I'm proud when people say the things you said at the top of this call, which is that you were moved by the piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, and we weren't the only ones. I think it's fair to say it's been received quite well,
quite
hasn't
well,
it?
Quite well, Barry.
Best film at the Golden Globes. How does that feel?
It feels damn good. You know, I mean, look, you know, myself and the playwright, you know, we basically are this kid in this film, and you watch this movie and you don't think Chiron is going to grow up and win a Golden Globe for Best Drama. You don't think Chiron is going to grow up and be nominated for 4 BAFTAs. You don't think Chiron will grow up and be nominated for 8 Academy Awards.
And yet,
those things are happening to me, maybe he does, you know?
Do you know, after what happened last year, how important will it be if you are well represented at the Oscars, being a film about a young gay black man?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think we already are well represented at the Oscars. Yeah. I mean, we have 8 nominations. You know, I'm a process person. I don't get tied to results. And so whether we win or lose all 8 of those nominations, it won't change my perception of the work that we did. I'll still be proud of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, a lot of these films are seeded years and years in the past. You know, this movie began 4 years ago. Fences began 25 years ago.
Wow.
I think we're all just arriving in this present moment. And it's beautiful that they can be framed as a response to the uproar of the last year. But I also think, too, whatever was in the water that bubbled to the surface last year, the creators were already feeling those things 4 years, 5 years ago.
Right.
And I'm glad the industry has responded.
So critically, it's been very well received. What about personally? Because it's been out in the States for a little while. How have audiences seen it, Barry?
It's been amazing. You know, I think people want to have these conversations, but maybe they're afraid to. And I feel like the movie has been this centering device where people as a community can go and have these conversations, whether on Facebook or, you know, in theaters at Q&As. I personally have an Instagram and a Twitter account, and I get messages all the damn time from people, mostly from these young black men who have felt voiceless for so long. And they look to the film as a reflection of their lives, and in this way they feel a bit less invisible. So that to me is one of the most moving things that can happen when you create a piece of art.
Incredible. I mean, that was the thing for me. I just thought, I've never seen that represented, even on TV, let alone on the big screen. You know, I thought that was very powerful. Barry, I know you've got to go. Our time is short with you, but I mean, you mentioned the Academy Awards there. Have you planned your outfit, Barry? What are you going for? Come on.
I am wearing Christian Dior. Bro.
Ooh, no,
baby.
Hey,
are you going
Dickie? Are you going black Dickie bow, or are you going something a bit more outlandish? What kind of thing are we looking at?
No, I'm going to keep it simple. I dress, like a smart London bloke. I think that's what I'm going for.
all right.
You're trying to do an accent there, weren't you, Barry?
Apples and pears,
Hey, by the way, has anybody ever sang to you, Gadio killed the radio star, or no? Is that not a thing?
You have now, Barry.
Barry Jenkins,
director of the amazing Moonlight. Give him a ripple, please. It's Barry Jenkins.
Jenkins!
Best of luck at the Oscars. You should win them all.
Thank you very much.